They had a chair that I had given them.
Oh.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it
what
is...
What we did now?
Oh, just, Mary, I was just going to give a date today. So we,
okay.
Carl Rowe, Barb Rowe, Dr. Mary Kitchell are sitting in a very warm, cozy living room at Dr. Mary's home on North Shore Estates. And it's
15th, isn't it?
And it's January 14th. The year is 2002. And Mary will be celebrating her 90th birthday January 18th. So we are here to start that celebration. And Mary did not know that we were going to talk to her about the museum. But we just happened to have our tape recorder in the car. So Carl quickly ran and got it, set it up, and here we are. And we're going to go back and pick Mary's brain about those early days at the museum. Take it away, Carl.
All right, Mary, what was your part in the museum above the Masonic
Temple? Well, Ray Swanson, who was very active in the Masonic Temple, got these rooms for us above Pictures Jewelry up there. When the museum was open, we used to have a little sign down on the street that said, museum open, and you had to climb some dark, narrow stairway. Quite a trip up there. Now, the museum was already functioning when I came on the scene. I don't know who interested me, I don't remember, but we had the rooms from Ray, and John and
how
Eddie
many rooms
had,
were there? How many rooms?
I think there were two big rooms, I believe, with a great big window back on the alley. And they were steam heated, and they were dry, real dry for archives and dusted. Wasn't a very great place. Now, John and Eddie Path had been busy with paintbrushes, so it was pretty respectable. We had some glass showcases with a few things in them and other artifacts sitting around. I remember especially a Schnitzelbanker. That's a shaving bench to make shingles. And someplace around here, I have a picture of Peg Trunkiller sitting at it, making a shingle, and she gave us the Schnitzelbanker. And I'll have to find that picture. Then I remember the slave cradle that the Peebles Bank gave us. The colored mammies used to take their babies out to the fields when they worked in what they called the slave cradle. It was a cradle with wheels and a top on it so the babies were protected from the sun. And I remember a crib made of willow twigs come across the river. Quite a nice baby crib. I haven't seen that in a long time. I don't know where it is, but no doubt it's out at the warehouse. At this time, Helen DeYoung was quite active. I guess you would call her a registrar in keeping track of the gifts. Did a nice job.
That's when we were upstairs. That's when we were upstairs in the...
Yes. Well, she was upstairs, and then she still worked a while after we were over in the depot. But she was our early registrar and kept track of the gifts.
Now, where are we at, Rome?
We're up in the old, up above the Masonic
Temple. The Masonic Temple. And Mary, that's the first time you remember the museum having a place to store artifacts. And
yes, well, Esther Dane Nyland, who was a history teacher here, had for many years what she called an old-timers' day. And she encouraged students to bring in pictures and other artifacts. And she had quite a collection of pictures. I don't know where she kept them, but she gave those to the museum eventually, and I think she had a few other little items, but I don't know. I really was not in on the ground floor then.
Okay. If you weren't in on the ground floor, what brought your attention?
I can't remember how I got
What was
interested.
It? Did you read about it in the newspaper? Did you know somebody who was involved in it? There were, I believe, 110 charter members.
Whether I just don't know how I got interested in it. But from then on, I began to collect, like...
We've heard some of those collection stories.
Yes.
You're quite famous, Mary.
I'm afraid so.
Thank goodness.
The train used to come in here and across the river on the west side of the river. And they had these railroad crossing signs at the various streets. So after the track was taken up, my daughter took her truck and we went over on North 3rd Street and knocked that railroad crossing sign down. And then there was also one there at Detroit Mileage. And we picked those up.
Good, good. Thank goodness for people like you.
And then, of course, when they were going to tear down the courthouse, we went in there and salvaged a lot of things from the major courtroom. Salvaged the desk where the attorneys sat with their clients, and the witness chair, and the jury box, and then quite an elaborate iron railing. And the fireplace was tile, and we remounted those tile on a piece of plywood, so it looked like we had the original fireplace.
Mary, when was the two rooms open to the public?
I have no idea.
I mean,
how often
they
was
used
it?
To keep notebooks, scrapbooks of newspaper clippings, and those should be around somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure most of them or all of them are.
And when I find this picture of Peg Trunkweller, I know she's sitting on the Smithsonian box in the museum, and that picture's in the paper.
We were just wondering if it was open during Coast Guard Festival.
Oh, yes, during Coast Guard Festival we had big crowds. But we were open certain times, and like I said, we had this little sign that was set up down on the sidewalk, museum open, an arrow pointing up.
Okay, how many steps were there going?
Oh, a lot.
Too many?
It was a long staircase.
Long and dingy.
Mary, can you describe what the two rooms looked like? What were the walls like?
Well, they were just painted. Just two big rooms with painted walls. It's not very elegant.
Okay, and what
about... Do you
remember
what color?
They were a light color of some sort, I think.
Was it wallpaper?
No.
Mary, do you remember the lighting? How did you see what was in the two rooms?
Whatever light these rooms would have had as office rooms or whatever they were.
Okay.
Of course, this big window on the alley, it was dirty. Always getting washing.
Okay, and are we talking the 50s, the 60s?
Well, it got down to present museum, I think, in 71.
Right.
So it was the 60s. Maybe the 50s, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But those notebooks with all newspaper clippings and things should be at the museum, and our new educator should be able to help you on that.
Okay. You mentioned Ray Swanson and the Caps. Are there any other people that you remember during those early days?
Some other members.
Boy, I wish we brought our membership list here.
Mrs. Floto.
She was busy with her store. I don't remember her being active in the gym. She could have been. I don't remember that she was.
The Bocce Sisters. Agnes Coster. Mrs. Nigrum. Nigrum. Mrs. Nigrum.
Oh, yes. Mrs. Nigrum.
What did she...
Quite active.
What did she... What was her part?
Oh, collecting our bags. The ice cream table and chairs came from her father's drugstore out of Washington, Hetzel's. Mm. Of course, she put her skis in there and she kept Devil and Miss Cozy were on display. Now, the basement of the museum was a bicentennial project. The first 2 years we were in there, we only had the first floor. And somebody discovered that all that space was down there, and we got in a sand conveyor and hauled the sand out and paved it. It made very nice.
Very, very nice.
This place did.
Mary, I remember when you and I went up in the attic. And I climbed up in the attic, and you were down below.
Went on the ladder, before we had that stairway? Right.
And I was handing down boxes of stuff to you.
Yes.
Soot. Boxes of soot. And papers, and more papers.
The attic was full of railroad things, like
amazing
timetables and signs, and a nice railroading history collection,
which
we have, which we sorted out.
Just a box of stuff. What was your part in the museum, the one we're in now? What did you do to get the museum started that we're in now?
Really, John Path did that. I didn't have anything to do with the mechanics of acquiring it. I just simply worked on it after we got it.
What did you work on? Did you work on the whole thing?
Oh, I helped the carpenters. Oh, I designed the and planned the floor out for the first exhibit, the floor plan. And we got that dining room woodwork, what do you call it?
Wainscoting.
Wainscoting from that apartment that the Presbyterian Church is going to tear down when they built their new building. And that was from the original Hatton Hospital. That dining room was the women's ward, I believe. And we rebuilt that then. We had to wait till the electricity was turned off to tear it out. Nobody wanted to work in there when there was danger. And when the electricity was turned off, we just had a very close deadline when the demolition people were coming. And I know that Chet Anderson was one of the people in the past. And I don't remember who else. But we went in there then and tore out that wainscoting. And Chet took that mirror over to place in Grand Rapids and got it re-silvered up in the mirror above the buffet. The light that hangs in that room is interesting. The fixture came from the Bocce house. The Andersons gave it to us. This is the dining room now. Mm-hmm. And one day I was just stopped by chance at a garage sale down on Colfax on my way to the hospital. And this big round shape that you see on that chandelier was a sale, like maybe 50 cents, something like that. Had no earthly use for it, but I thought it was pretty, so I bought it. So that gave us a chandelier. There were two small shades with it. And I made a drawing a rubbing of these shades. And I found one in Indianapolis, and I found one in Traverse City. So now the light has four small shades and a big enough above which matches.
Good.
Oh. Just serendipitous.
We're grateful, Mary. Wonderful.
This happened.
Mm-hmm.
Mary, I had such fun.
Mary, where was all the stuff stored before the museum took place?
On Washington Street, the building next to Verdun's first house west had a little shed in the back, and quite a few things were in there. Yeah, that's where most of them were. I think that was a Van Zylen house. I'm not sure whose it was. But it had a shed on the back that was fairly dry. That's where all this woodworking stuff was, I know.
So that took care of the courthouse and...
We had the museum by the time we got the courthouse. I believe you have to get those dates.
Mm-hmm. Mary, I think I remember seeing that you became a member in 1964.
I have no idea.
You know, And
I don't know who interested me. I just don't remember.
Right, right. Well, it just happened, thank goodness. That's wonderful. Can you remember, or what do you remember that the townspeople thought about this group of people called the Tri-Cities Historical Society? What was going through their minds when some of you were getting these things, putting them away, preserving them? Okay, you just did it. Nobody was really saying much, but there was a group of people.
I just collected.
You were the collector, the chief collector. Okay, gotcha.
I'm a person.
Okay, let's, Mary, go back to the beginning of the museum at its current site, and if you, with Carl and I, could take a walking tour as you come in the door, what do you remember the exhibits?
There was a restaurant originally in the front entrance for the depot.
Mm-hmm.
And the ticket window was there in the hallway where the present ticket window is. And an awful old bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the one big room that's still the big room. And then the grocery store was a kind of a small office space.
Mm-hmm.
And then the place where the stairway goes down was a baggage room. And the big room was kind of a baggage room, too. And there were doors that opened onto the railroad side, the river side, which we had closed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the early exhibits, what were they in the rooms? Now that the...
Well, we had a church exhibit. A lot of things of St. Paul's United Church of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the big room where the audiovisual is. There was a large painting and furniture, badges, fonts, and things. And then on one panel, we had pictures of churches and religious things.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember that.
And north of it was a pharmacy, mm-hmm, combination barbershop. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And across the hall was a schoolroom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we had a kitchen too with that. With that big kitchen stove.
Mm-hmm.
And a school room with old school desks and school pictures. And a parlor. Mm-hmm. With a little round oval stove.
Yep.
And a lounging chair. Mm-hmm. And
The chair, I remember, was not too comfortable.
Like everybody had. Mm-hmm. And then the bedroom, which has been there for a long time, so we've been recently taken out. And trying to think what we had where the different bedroom is. We've had that Griffin McNett stuff quite a while. And of course, in the entrance room, we're so proud of that lighthouse light that Fresno lands at. That's very special. And then that Congressional Medal, life-saving medal, is in the case there. And our ship bottles are out of this world, really. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Mary, do you remember what that lobby, that first room was when you walked through the entrance?
You mean before we...
No, not before. Once, the red baggage cart sticks out in my mind. Do you remember the red baggage cart?
Yes, it used to be in there. Mm-hmm. It had a little square enamel sign on the front railway express. I found that down at an antique show in Centerville in Indianapolis. And that sign that says Railway Express, I found at the same show. Now, Eakin would say, these aren't local, we can't have them here.
They probably came from Grand Haven anyways, Mary.
Well, after all, I'm sure Grand Haven had the same railway express signs and the same little triangular enamel ones on their baggage cart. I don't remember what else was in there. Oh, we had a pew in there from the Fruitport Congregational Church. There used to be a Crockery Township kind of mission church out on Leonard. And I went by there one day and I saw these two church pews out by the baseball diamond. And I chased the minister down and got permission to put those pews up for the museum. He said, well, next time you go by, pick them up. Well, the next time I went by was the next day. I just happened to go by the next day.
Good.
And they needed a bit of restoration because they'd been out in the winter. But the church pew was in there. Oh, the case, which now has... the big cases now is mostly boats. Had stuff from Spring Lake and Ferrisburg because we wanted them to feel like a part of us. There were things from the Spring Lake Yacht Club. There were things from the Spring Lake Water Resort. Mm-hmm. Things like that. Menus and pictures. And
right. Well, that pretty much takes care of the 70s, Mary. Who was running the museum? Who was taking care of it?
Oh, all volunteers. I don't know who was before Moore and Wilson. Gertrude Clifford came after Moore for a while, and then they began to pay help. These notebooks should have minutes in the meetings and tell who those people were.
Oh, I know we can look those things up, Mary, but it's much more fun talking to you about it and hearing your memory.
We had a lot of fun salvaging courthouse stuff. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun. I really think we should share some of that with the Holland Museum, but we never have.
Mm-hmm. Well, we should look into that, Mary. Mary, how were things back in the 1970s? Identified. How did they?
We never had very good sightings. Okay. That was one of our deficiencies. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's not too good now.
Was it
Handwritten? Was it typewritten?
Typewritten, as you know, I believe.
Okay. Did Maury do that? Did do you remember Alice Silliman?
Oh, Alice was very important, along with the Young sisters.
Mm-hmm. Helen?
Helen and Julia.
Helen and Julia.
Yeah.
Right.
Alice Silliman was very important in those years. Yes.
When's the last time you saw Alice?
I saw her out at oncology, probably a year or so ago, just to speak.
Uh-huh.
I think she's still living.
She's still living. We had her over last fall.
How is she?
She's doing fine. She lives at Robinswood.
What kind of cancer she has, you know?
I do not know. But we were very happy to see her, and Gertrude Klepfer and Betty Anderson joined Carl and I, and we all had lunch together, and it was a very nice reunion.
Well, she was very active in cataloging, that
yes,
kind of thing.
Yes, right. Well, that's behind the scenes, but very important. Right.
Mary, do you remember what that building looked like the night? Do you remember what the deep hole looked like and what was in it when we first saw it?
I believe it had been painted.
Inside?
Oh, well, I don't know exactly. I was saying outside. They sandblasted it.
Right. But inside. I'm talking about inside. Do you remember what was in there?
What?
Do you remember what was in there, in the building itself? I mean, when we saw it, when we first opened the door.
No, there wasn't much in it, Joe. Junk, you know.
Right.
Paper.
Junk. I'll never forget, ever.
The city stored something.
The city stored Christmas stuff.
Right.
And I remember Christmas, the big Christmas decorations for the lights downtown. And other things they'd store in there, but it was dirty and dark, and I said, are we gonna
I don't remember that at all. Well, I can tell you an interesting thing about that boat that hangs in the back room.
The blinker, yeah.
The those Jesus daughter went to West Michigan Christian High School in Muskegon. And she met a friend there, a boy from Fremont, and he said that his father had a boat, which was made by the Spring Lake Boat Company. And he had stripped the brass off and quite a bit restored it, and after he got it restored, he thought it was too good to use out in the river. And I said, well, we should have that boat for the museum. But don't tell any more about it. And time went by, I don't know how long, maybe a year or so, and one day Lois called and said, the boat's here. I said, what boat? She said, well, that boat made by the Spring and Clear Boat Company is here. And I said, well, drop it off down to the museum. Well, that's when we were just getting started down in there, and they put it in the big room right in the way, and John Papp came in, and I thought he'd have a stroke. Honestly, it was, what in the world are we going to do with that boat? And Chet Anderson says, John, I'll take care of it. We'll hang it up.
Good idea.
It's still there.
Way to go, Chet.
So, Chet, in a very calm way, saved the day and calmed John down and arranged to hang the boat, and it hangs still.
Still in the same place.
Mary, what do you remember about your many years as president of the Historical Society? You were instrumental in holding that group together during some lean years.
Was that? Are you sure?
I'm sure.
I don't remember that yet.
We would meet in the community center when Carl and I got on board. We came to town in 69, and one of our teachers, when we were talking about being newcomers to Grand Haven, suggested that Carl and I join the Historical Society.
Oh, no, it wasn't quite like that.
It wasn't called. Okay, go ahead, Carol.
Lamar Van Haften.
Huh?
Lamar Van Haften.
Oh,
she
yeah.
was one of my teachers. And I said, you know, what...
His wife was a dog boss.
Yes.
Right, right. What is this Historical Society thing? And she said, well, you got to talk to Dr. Mary. And that's how we've known you all these years, Mary. And we did.
I don't remember that those were tough years.
Well, yeah, in a way...
We didn't have the depot yet, is that right?
Right.
Right.
The depot, I think, was a big inspiration.
Yes. Yes, it was. Mary, Carl and I kind of laugh. We remember we were then very young. And, I mean, this is over 32 years ago. And at the potlucks that we would have, things were kind of sparse. There was a lot of tuna, and there was a lot of noodles, and there was a lot of Jell-O. And, but we could see just the finest group of people that we'd ever want to meet. And like you, we know many of those people still today.
If I were to look over the membership, that might refresh my memory
okay.
about some things.
You know what we'll do, Mary? We're going to come back with that list, and we'll have... Actually, you know what I'm going to do? I have another thought. I will mail you a copy of the list. That will give you some time to... I don't even need to do that? Okay, fine.
Okay,
you can remember instantly.
One of the later presidents was... Sisters and parents, fourth and fifth, and she taught up at Muskegon High School, had red hair.
Well, they lived in Becker's house. Who were they?
But they were scouts.
That house was moved over on the
right.
And she was president.
No.
After Maury Wilson.
See, I don't remember her at all, Mary.
Maybe it's Scott.
Here.
Scott?
Sandrine Scott was the other one. I think they're lesbians. The one I'm trying to think of was Sandrine's real name.
One taught in the high school.
Sandrine Scott and...
I don't know. We have a chair for them anyway.
But you know what, Mary? That means I need to go back and look, because I do not remember seeing her name.
They might have been before you.
As president.
Because I never remember anybody but you, Mary.
Right. You were the first woman president. Of many things, but of the Historical Society, Mary. And then, you know who I think was next? Chet?
I don't even remember being president.
Mary, you ran meetings. You don't remember running these
tell
meetings?
Tell me, I wouldn't remember.
Well, we can tell that collecting was your baby. That was more important to you than running a meeting.
I went out to bars and places.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Well, Mary, we've covered the early days, the 60s and 70s. Can the three of us think of what happened in the 80s? Down at the museum?
Did we have hired help then?
Well, we'll have to kind of see when Chet Anderson died. That was a big turning point.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Cernok would know. Of course, Betty would know.
Right.
Bob Cernok built those that Resnikoff Rackets grocery store.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Well, we'll check on those dates. We will do that.
Well, talk to our educator, because mm-hmm. she should have all these notebooks and all these mm-hmm. clippings.
Well, we do, Mary, but like I said, we still like reminiscing with you. It's kind of like fireside chats.
Yeah. Shall we turn this off now?
Sure. Well, let's, Mary, before we do turn it off, and before we really celebrate your birthday, instead of making you work so hard as you have so
willingly...
Well,
we better, Barb. We better. For crying out loud.
As you so willingly have done without any advance notice.
It really was such fun to collect. And then I, Louis Stern and I used to go down to Henry Ford Museum to the antique forums, and that's how I got interested in Bogart. Mm-hmm. And Bob Bishop was there at that time. Of course, he became the guru of Bogart at the New York Bogart Museum. And I tried at first to collect things that were made in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of specialized on that. Now, I gave most of my Michigan folk art collection to the Michigan State University Folk Art Museum a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the Grand Haven Museum wasn't much interested in folk art, but I think maybe I did get a few things, but not much. They weren't interested.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My children have taken a few things, and I have turkey things still there.
Mm-hmm. Good. Mary, since you, more than most people that are still involved in the museum, saw really its beginning and where we're at now, where we have thousands of visitors, we have school groups coming through, we have an outreach education program, we just have an ongoing every day.
I believe we had school groups quite early.
Yeah.
I think so.
Oh, we did. Right, but I mean the numbers coming through now are just amazing. They truly are.
All volunteers early.
Right. What do you see for the future of the museum?
We need a new big building, state of the art.
Mm-hmm.
$1 million probably. They're looking to build some kind of a combination with the bleachers, whatever you call that area. And I'm afraid it's going to be kind of cobbled up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I quit my lottery tickets when they added that oddball that you had to buy.
Uh-huh.
You had to get the oddball, and then that made it too.
Right. The chances weren't as good.
The chances weren't as good.
Yeah, right, right.
For many years, I bought lottery tickets for many different years. And, we never have tapped the Grand Haven Industries for money much. I don't think. I really may be talking out of turn. I don't believe that they have ever really drawn much in money raising.
No, I think you're right about that. Yeah.
But I would like to see us have a new museum over there on Jackson Street in that triangle area north of the south of the Farmers Market.
Mm-hmm.
A state-of-the-art.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm.
Okay. Sounds good.
That
I think we have artifacts that are worthy of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We do have. We have a lot of nice
things. Well, Mary, you were a major, major collector. You were president for many years. You're still active.
I still collect the newspapers for cookies for the museum. That's all I do now.
But you also, and do you remember how the Wednesday morning group got started?
No, I didn't have anything to do with that.
Okay, but didn't you go down on Wednesdays and meet with the group on Wednesday morning?
Not unless it was a program I was interested in.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't have anything to do with that.
All right.
That's it? We're going to wind down and let's have some cheesecake.
What?
Let's have some cheesecake.
It's done.
Is it done?
Mm-hmm.
No, it isn't.
Okay. It's voice activated. That's what's nice about it. It stops when no one's talking.
That's good.
Yep. Very good. It saves tape. It saves space.
I think we've talked enough to deserve some cheesecake.
Sure. I'm ready for cheesecake. Whipped cream.
What?
Whipped cream on it.
Real whipped cream, Mary.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
I'm slightly nauseated. Turn that off.
I am.
So that's just